This is the Daily Ebola Update from VOA Africa.
This is Jackson Vunganyi with the roundup of important events and information about the Ebola crisis from Africa, the U.S., and the world. The Ebola response team of the International Federation of the Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies, IFRC, and its partners have been working in West Africa since the beginning of the Ebola outbreak to contain the disease and teach communities how to prevent the spread of the virus. However, the IFRC says many challenges remain as people continue to disregard life-saving instructions and information. Almost 11,000 Red Cross volunteers have stepped up to help end the Ebola outbreak, but there's still a lack of resources as health workers continue to be stigmatized. Benoit Matcha Carpenter is a senior media officer for IFRC in Geneva. He spoke with VOA's Kim Lewis about the challenges that still plague response teams.
Well, challenges are at several levels. I mean, at international level, we're still struggling to have the right amount of staff to go to the field. So we have regular training for people once a week now in Geneva, and we do have also trainings in Spain and in France. So these trainings are well attended, but we're still looking for more people so that we can sustain our response in the field in the treatment center that we have, one in Sierra Leone, and the French Red Cross has one in Guinea. So that's one point. Then at the field level, we're still facing the same challenges. They might not be exactly of the same scale in some places, but challenges are some of the population still needs to understand exactly the risk and the transmission problem. And we are dealing with very heavy traditions in this part of Africa. So it's been going on for now almost 9-10 months, and we're still facing this problem because now, you know, we've had the first phase of what we call global social mobilization at national level, which worked quite well. So it's TV and radio and posters and all this. Now we are talking about community engagement, really going to the communities individually, to each houses, to make sure that people understand the messages that you're giving, that they are going to take precautions, that they will report cases when it happens, that they will not hide any person that died because of fear of stigma. So it's all this work that needs to be done.
With attitudes and traditions being a big challenge in the fight with Ebola, what has been the response of volunteers and workers going door to door to inform people?
We've had about 11,000 volunteers involved in the response since March this year, and they've been playing a key role. I don't think we would be anywhere near where we are now if they had not been there, because they are coming from the communities, they are from the same areas, they share the same traditions, they understand them better, and people also trust them more. So it's easier for them to go in the communities, to knock on the door and to explain to people, because people will trust them. Doesn't mean that there's no resistance, because we're talking about very sensitive issues. We're talking about, you know, sometimes dead bodies, and we need to make sure that people handle them with care and in a safe manner.
What is the immediate goal at this time in terms of containing the disease? I know you all have been doing the door-to-door campaigning. What is the next step? What is the immediate goal?
Our response is based on what we call five pillars: social mobilization and community engagement. It's contact tracing and monitoring, meaning finding the people that have been potentially in contact with infected people and monitoring them for the 21 days incubation period. Then there is the clinical case management, so that's where you take care of people, and the psychosocial support. And the last is the safe and dignified burials, which is one of the most important activity on the fight against Ebola. If you scale up, you need to scale them, all of them at the same time. So if you do a very good social mobilization and the message goes through very well, so people go to the health center or to the treatment center where they could get care, and then there's no bed or there's no capacity, then you've lost your battle because you're sending people to a place that doesn't exist or that is understaffed or that doesn't have the capacity to host you. So you need to have all these pillars working at the same level all the time.
Your organization passed a resolution, and I'm going to quote your general secretary, who said the resolution is to isolate the disease without isolating the countries affected. So what exactly does this mean, and how will this be carried out?
It's more of a recommendation we're making. There's a big stigmatization and a big on the ball around the world. I mean, we used to say that there are two outbreaks. There's an outbreak of Ebola and one of fear and panic. And we need to fight that because this is counterproductive and this is hampering our response. The fact that there is stigma means that we have less staff going to Ebola countries for responding to them. So that's valid for, you know, international, European, American staff or for even African staff that are stigmatized when they are there. Now the family are scared and then they're stigmatized when they go back home. So that's one of the main things. And for now, I mean, we need to make sure that we don't isolate the countries, because if you're in a country that has already Ebola and all the economical impact of Ebola in the country and you're closing the country completely, meaning there's no economic exchange between the neighboring countries, and the countries are not going to be self-sufficient to be able to resist to that. So the prices are going to go up. People are not going to be able to buy whatever goods that they used to buy because the prices are going up. So you're creating another problem by closing down the borders and isolating these countries. There are precautions measures that can be taken, but we must not isolate them and close everything.
That was Benoit Masha Carpentier, Senior Media Officer for the IFRC. He spoke with VOA's Kim Lewis from Geneva. A Liberian hospital has started treating Ebola patients with the blood of Ebola survivors. Doctors at Elwa Hospital in Monrovia have begun injections of the serum therapy. They expect to have enough blood serum to serve more than 20,000 patients by early next year. The treatment has been used in combination with other experimental vaccines on Ebola patients evacuated to the United States and the United Kingdom on a few infected Liberian healthcare workers. Results of tests of other experimental vaccines are also being tested in Europe, the United States, and at some West African sites. Liberia has postponed its Senate elections until Friday in the hope that another delay will improve the credibility of elections in the midst of the Ebola crisis. The Supreme Court on Saturday ruled the vote must go forward. The original vote was to be held in October, but was postponed until today. In neighboring Sierra Leone, Chief Medical Officer Dr. Brima Kagbo confirmed Sunday a prominent doctor tested positive for Ebola. Dr. Victor Willoughby is the 12th Sierra Leonean physician to become infected. 10 have died. Junior doctors in Sierra Leone last week launched a strike to demand better medical treatment for health workers who contract the disease. Kagbo said Sunday that skeleton crews have returned to aid the senior doctors. The Sierra Leone government has disputed the recent WHO figures of a new Ebola outbreak that it says has been responsible for the death of dozens of people and sickening many others. Chris Stein reports from Abuja, Nigeria.
Sierra Leone's Minister of Information, Alpha Kanu, hit back Thursday at media reports of a new outbreak. In a teleconference with journalists, he says the WHO's announcement that an outbreak in the remote Kono district has killed 87 people and sickened 123 was based on improper counting of Ebola casualties.
The huge numbers that seem to be coming out on the wires don't seem to be reflecting on the ground. But part of the explanation for that is that these huge numbers are swelled up by tests carried out on people who are already dead, i.e. the swabs. Because we have a policy in Sierra Leone that any death now is treated as an Ebola death until proven otherwise.
The World Health Organization has also said Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Guinea are making progress toward the UN goals of treating 100% of Ebola patients and conducting 100% of burials safely. Chris Stein for VOA News, Abuja.
And that was the Ebola update from VOA Africa. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. For all the latest information on the Ebola crisis, listen to the news on VOA Africa 24 hours a day or tune into our special Ebola updates Monday to Saturday. You can also visit our website at www.voanews.com. For mobile users, the website is ebola.voanews.com.